Hi, I'm Fola, and welcome to Marketing Your Wellness Business Podcast. So this is the first episode of the podcast, and basically this is kind of how it is going to go. It's mostly going to be me talking about marketing and sales, things like that, how to get more customers, more clients for your business, specifically your health or wellness business. That's mostly what I'm talking about, and it's not going to be anything formal, it's not going to be anything structured or rigid. It's just, for the most part, going with the flow, kind of how my emails are, if you are on my email list. But that's generally how the podcast is going to go. So for today, we are going to be talking about how health business owners can write emails that people can't help but read and buy from. So you probably have heard of the importance of building a list, or maybe even having a list and you are already sending out emails. But I believe that email list is one of the most important assets your business can have, but many people don't know how to write well enough to get the maximum sales from them. So that's just kind of what we're going to be going through. So the first thing now, which would probably be a shocker to most people, is that nobody cares about value. On your email list, not really, nobody cares about value. And the reason is simple. Value is abundant, content is abundant across the internet. So someone can go on Google and get, you can get any information online for free. So it's not the value that is doing the work. Right? There are other things at play. But if you listen to most internet marketing circles or just general social marketing advice, social media marketing advice, which most of them are wrong in my opinion, you would always hear the importance of value. But that's just rubbish. Nobody cares about value. Value is not as important as most people think of it to be. Especially not when it comes to emails. Your products, for sure. Yes, but once it's in the emails, the writing of that, that's not the most important. There are other things at play, which will be going over. So the second now is that you have to be interesting. You just got to be interesting. This is like, if I was to give only one tip for writing emails, is that you have to be interesting. People have boring lives, right? Largely, people have boring lives. They are going to their day job that they probably hate, coming back at night, having to deal with the kids and a failing marriage and all of that. At the end of the day, they need some sort of escape from that life, which is why people binge Netflix, why people get drunk and all of that. But if you are selling a product, or if you are selling a service, a coaching, whatever it is, right, you have to be in some way that escape for them. But much more than that, you also need to make it easy for people to read you. So, for instance, now, which one are you more likely to do on an average day? Pick up a textbook from college, right? Or binge watch your favorite movie. Even though the college textbook has more value, quote unquote, nobody does that because it's boring. People will more likely go watch a movie or go see a show or something like that just because there's an inherent fun aspect to it, interestingness that goes along with it, and that's something you should be striving to do in your emails. So it has to be interesting. There are multiple ways we can now make it interesting, which will be the content of another podcast. But one is just telling stories, really. Telling stories about your daily life, telling stories about your clients, telling stories about something in the news. Stories are always interesting. That's an easy way to make your emails entertaining and interesting. But whatever you do, ensure your emails are interesting. Now, the third is your emails have to have depth. So now this is almost contradictory because I mentioned initially that your emails, your email lists, your subscribers don't really care about value. But this is not so much value as it is wasting people's time. When I say your emails should have depth, I mean there should not be shallowness in your emails. Your emails, even if you are not teaching, it should show a mastery of the subject. So many times people get emails that are just very shallow. There's no real depth behind it. There's no real mastery. There's no real expertise coming through. So people read the emails and they've pretty much wasted their time. They don't learn anything new. And when I say learn anything new, it doesn't mean you have to give them a 24-step plan. Like, you don't challenge their mindsets. You don't change their mindsets. You don't give them a vision. You don't help them see, okay, this is how the problem is in an everyday person's life, or this is a potential solution. There's nothing new that you're bringing to their lives, right? That is basically wasting their time. So when I say your emails have to have depth, that's kind of what I mean. There needs to be something deeper. There needs to be a level of mastery that comes through in your emails so that you are not just wasting people's time. You don't want people to take out 5 minutes out of their day, 3 minutes out of their day, even if it's 30 seconds. You don't want them to take it out, read your emails, and then there's nothing in it for them. They will not want to read subsequent emails. So that's the third thing you should do in order to get people eagerly reading and buying from your emails. Now, the fourth thing that you need to understand is that people pay with their brains before they pay with their wallets. And what I mean by that is I heard this phrase before, which is very similar. Well, it's something like time and money are two sides of the same coin. People have to pay with their time before they can pay with their money. And I think that's really explanatory of what I'm trying to say here. And what I'm saying is people have to see what they buy mentally before they would be willing to pay with their wallet. That's why I say they have to buy with their brains first. So let's say you're in the health nature, diabetes coach or something like that. In order to sell people on your package, or maybe it's a course, or to come into the clinic, whatever it is, they need to be able to see it in their mind. They need to see the vision of the problem. They need to see the vision of the solution before they would pay with their wallet. So they must have a mental imagery of their transformation, right, before they would be willing to part with their money. So that's kind of what that means. Now, how do you actually make this happen? There are different ways you can make this happen. One can be case studies, right? You can use case studies. Second can be just talking about people who have actually experienced the problem. You'll be surprised at how many people buy just because you explain the extent of the problem to them. Many people do things that they don't fully understand the consequences. And once you can explain that, okay, there was this guy, maybe he is in his 20s, he overate, never went to the gym, always got fast food. And then at 27 years old, he had a stroke, couldn't move half of his body. Just telling stories that give the readers a vision of the problem, helping them understand that this is how bad the problem can get, is already giving them a vision in their mind. And that helps them, quote unquote, buy with their brains. And in turn, they will now buy with their wallets. So that is, I think that's number four. Number five is conflict. So people love conflict. I mean, we don't admit that we love conflict, but you can just check everywhere. The UFC, one of the biggest sports in the world, is all about conflict, people fighting. In Roman times, I've forgotten what it's called, but people used to gather in stadiums, right, and they would open wild animals to people to kill them, right? People would be fighting with lions and tigers, right, in the open field, and 30,000 people would gather around to watch. Why? Because there's an inherent conflict in it. Now, you're probably squirming in your chair and like, that is inhuman. Inhuman, is that the word? You are thinking that it is wicked or whatever. But I'm not saying we should do that today. I'm just saying there's an inherent conflict in that. And that's why the news thrives so much on conflict. One political party attacking another political party, one race attacking another race. Because conflict is attractive to people, even though we don't want to admit it. But how does this apply to your business? Now, you can think of it in multiple ways. One can be you picking a fight with the standards in your industry. So if you're a health business owner, you probably already have a lot of this going for you. You probably don't agree with some things that are going on in your industry. So picking a fight with that is a very good way to create conflict. And that good way to create conflict is actually picking a fight with ideologies. So let's say, for instance, some people are talking about intermittent fasting. And maybe you don't agree with this for whatever reason. You can pick a fight with that ideology, right? Or maybe people are talking about pushing yourself to the extreme in the gym. It's an ideology. You can pick a fight with that. You can pick a fight with anything. But I don't recommend picking a fight with individuals directly so that you don't get sued for slander and all of that. But there are other ways to inflict conflict or to use conflict in your marketing. And conflict can also be as simple as narrating something that is happening in the industry. So let's say two major health brands are having a fight. Just narrating that in your emails is a great way to add conflict. That makes your emails more interesting and people will be more willing to read them and as a result buy from them. So I believe that's the fifth. Then the sixth now is teach people what to like. And this is a little more advanced and I'll probably be talking about it a little more in subsequent podcasts, but you have to teach your audience what to like. So I got into this conversation with a friend a couple of weeks back, and she does social media management for a brand. And she was talking about how you've always got to be tracking what the audience wants and giving them, because social media changes, right, over time and all of that, which I agree with for the most part. But once it comes to emails, even social media, when it comes to emails, first and foremost, you are the center of your business, right? So your business, quote unquote, revolves around you. Ideally, there should be an overlap between what you want and what your customers want. But at the end of the day, it is your brand. It is your brainchild, right? So everything has to flow around you. And if you can establish this quote unquote brand, then you are in a better position, right, than most other businesses. So when I say that you must teach people what to like, if, for instance, I like UFC fighting, a lot of analogies are going to come from there in my emails. It doesn't necessarily mean that people on my email list love UFC fights. It doesn't mean they even care about fights. But because I love it, because I can bring out lessons from UFC fighting and connect it to business, I'm in some way teaching them what to like. And so I don't have to chase the trend. I don't always have to look at what are they listening to now? What do they want to buy? What are they watching now? If I talk about what I love and what's going on in my world, and I can relate it to the core of their problem, which is getting customers or getting clients or maybe running Facebook ads or writing copy, whatever it is, if you can relate what you love to what they love, you don't always have to chase that trend, especially with email. And you can teach people what to like. I've seen emails where people are just talking about random things, talking about how their day went, how they went to a coffee shop and they got hit on. Like, nobody cares. But because it's interesting, because there's some level of depth, because maybe there's conflicts, somebody, a fight broke out at the bar, you are in some way teaching people what to like. And they don't necessarily have to like specifically the story or your hobbies, but so far it relates back to the core of what your business offers. It is fine, and people will be more addicted to your emails that way. And last but not the least, become familiar. So when I say become familiar, there is a strong power. Now, this is a two-way coin, right? Like a two-edged sword. Becoming familiar in some way means people know you, people have seen you. I don't like the phrase know, like, and trust, because it's not very accurate, which I'll probably debunk in another podcast. When I say become familiar, I mean you need to show up in their email inbox frequently. People need to know you exist, right? A lot of people get people to sign up and then they send emails every week or every month. I prefer sending emails as frequently as possible, every day. And the reason is because the more you send emails, the more people remember who you are, the more familiar they are with you, and the more likely they are to buy from you. So let's just say you have two people. One is your friend, right? And the other is somebody you saw on the TV. Let's say everything being equal, they have similar price points, similar quality that they offer. Who are you more likely to buy from? Of course, you're going to buy from your friend just because your friend is more familiar to you than the person in the TV. You don't trust that person as much as you would trust your friend. And it's the same concept that applies to your email. So the more you send out emails, the more you're in touch with your list, the more familiar you would become to them, right? So those are the, I believe, 7 ways you can improve your email list, make it more addictive, more interesting, helping people open it more, read more, and buy more from it. If you head over to iconmedia.net, you'll be able to get my free guide, Your Email List Is Your Wife, and it shows you, I believe, maybe 11, 12 rules of how to approach your email building and writing and everything that comes with managing an email list in order to get the maximum profits from your email list. So that's iconmedia.net, ikonmedia.net. Thank you very much.